do this. So I want to say hi to Dawn and Emily and Aaron and Jen and Kristen and Melanie and good old Millie.
Good old Millie.
All right. Melanie, I'm going to start with you if you're okay with that. And then we're going to move over to Aaron. And then did you say Jen?
Yeah, Jen
too?
Has a question I want to
so
answer.
This is awesome. This is perfect. I have people that mm-hmm. want to ask some things. So let me unmute you first. It says mute.
Yeah, she's unmuted.
Okay.
Yeah.
Melanie, are you there?
Yeah.
Perfect.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're coming in loud and clear. Actually, turn her up a little bit, sweetie.
Uh-huh.
Right there. Uh-huh. Okay. I have read your email, but I think it's better coming from you. Give us a heads up what's going on in your world.
Okay, so I have three boys, 7, 9, and 11. And my 11, and just a little background before that, I'm first generation Indian descent, and my husband is fourth generation Italian from upstate New York. So, and I'm from here, and we have three boys. The main issue right now is my oldest just started junior high, and the last couple of years, actually, I've been nervous about junior high since he started first grade. But the last couple of years, I've just noticed that the connection isn't where I want it to be. Can you still hear me? Because everything's frozen.
Yep.
So the connection between me and him and his dad and his brothers isn't exactly where I want it to be. In my email to you guys, I had stated that when I was growing up, I was kind of, I would consider my environment as a tiger mom environment. I don't know if everybody is aware of what that is, but very traditional Asian upbringing. The focus was academics, family, religion. And it didn't do so well for me. So when I chose to have children, I knew that I didn't want to necessarily replicate that, but you know, he's the first and I have tendencies within me that were there because of my environment, all these things I'm aware of. I've been working on it for a while with professionals as well as through my own self-study. And long story short, we're in junior high now. I'm noticing that he is, and I think this is part of his normal development, which is also hard for me to continue to realize. I automatically want to go to there's a problem as opposed to no, this is normal for an 11-year-old boy. And I have two sisters, so my knowledge of boyhood is very minimal and it's very limited towards the Indian heritage. So it's just culturally different. So he's definitely gravitating, very smart, intellectual. He's a smart kid. In my opinion, is not living up to his full potential academically. And now that he's in junior high, his focus is more social, popularity, the right clothes, video games. And it's hard for me and my husband to kind of maintain the connection or whatever connection we have at this point. So I just don't want to go make it worse. But at the same time, I don't want to just forego the other things that my husband and I feel are important. So does that kind of sum up what I wrote to you?
Totally. Just because the audio comes in better when I mute the people asking the questions, I'm going to mute you, but we'll come back to you, I promise. And I had the luxury of being able to read your email beforehand, and I highlighted a few things from your email that I want to mention. It says, though I'm not nearly as dismissive to him as my parents were with me. So that's my first thing with that is, so I already see that you've evolved. You know, I think our job as parents is to take the good that our parents gave to us and to throw away the stuff that they didn't give to us or the stuff that doesn't serve us anymore. So I first want to honor the fact that you've already are aware of this pattern that you could have, that could have passed down to you, and you're aware that you don't want to repeat that same pattern. So I first want to honor that in you. The second thing is you say in your email that we're at a crossroads at this point. I don't think you are. I think it may feel like you're at a crossroad, but he's 11. And then you're going to get past this. It might get a little messy, but then it'll get better. And then he'll be 12 and it'll be at another crossroad. So I think I just want to normalize that this is very normal adolescent parent stuff.
Absolutely. And you just said, she just said she's at a crossroads and you said you're not, but then you're going to get in another crossroads. Yeah. So what you're saying is it's going to be okay.
Yeah, it's going to be okay. Yeah. And I guess I'm saying don't put so much energy at this moment, because this will work itself out. And then you're going to have another challenge when he's 12 or when he's 14 or whatever. Like, this is part of what we sign up for. And then the last thing is you're deciding on, and by the way, he's in junior high, very confusing time for a young boy or a young girl. And I just want to normalize that, yeah, he's going to start behaving differently than the way you want him to. That's what kids are supposed to be doing. But the last thing is, and then I'll let Kathy kind of chime in, you don't know whether or not more firmness is needed regarding sticking to the already established boundaries, or whether more compassion to fill up the emotional piggy bank behavior. Parenting is an art, it's not a science. There's gonna be time when you're gonna have to set the boundaries, and then there's gonna be times when you need to come back at with more emotional love, compassion. So I think if I were you, I would trust your intuition and call on what the moment needs. There's gonna be moments when you need to, you know, follow through with your firm boundaries, and there's gonna be moments where you need to kind of surrender and relax a little bit. And there's not a perfect formula for parenting. So just to know that, and that I'm guessing there's 12 moms on this that could probably identify exactly what you're going through right now, and that it's just very normal.
Absolutely. So a few things. I think that I wanted to kind of tell a story because I can really relate to you in many ways, and how I've had to kind of unlearn what I'd learned. I remember when my youngest was in preschool and she was getting sick quite often. And I remember a day when she was sick again, and I was sitting in our kitchen and I started to cry. And I cried because she was sick and she couldn't go to preschool. And I was so upset about it, and I'd realized how much anxiety I was carrying about it. And then I had to and what I figured out without taking you through the whole thing is that I had a belief system, partly because of my parents were both teachers, and just my own experience in school, is that if she missed days of preschool, then she would somehow get behind, or teachers wouldn't look at her the same, or I wasn't doing my job. And I had built up a lot of like anxiety around education. And I figured that out it really early in preschool. Now, when I say that, I don't mean it's gone. I mean, that's how long I've been working on this, okay? And in every grade, there's like a new awareness I have to have. And that's why I'm sharing this with you, because I think before you talk with him about what your expectations are, you got to back up and figure out what your expectations, what lives inside of you. You know what you were given by your parents and by your culture and what the expectations were. Your husband knows what they were for him. And then now you've got to almost like break them up with a hammer and be like, are any of them true? Some of them still might be. This isn't like, oh, you're going to decimate them and start over. What I'm saying is you might say, no, that's a piece that's still true. That's important. But you need to break those down, because if you don't look at everything you believe, you're going to be working from a subconscious place all the time. The example I can give you is maybe one day he does come home and do all the things you expect of him. And then you're like, yeah, but he could be doing even more. And so then he's in a no-win situation. Do you see what I mean? Almost need to like sit with your husband being like, what do we want from him? Like, or what are our hopes is a better word. And then be like, we hope that he becomes a good man, you know, that he cares about himself and cares about other people, that he finds work he loves, that he has a sense of purpose in the world, and that he wants to give back to others. Now, how does someone do that? Is it through getting straight A's? Will that guarantee him that? No. Is it through doing his part? And as some people love this, some people don't, but playing the game of school, which is what I've taught, what we have hammered home in this, or what we have said to our girls over and over again, is our expectation is that you go to school, that you show up,
that you do your homework when it's assigned to you, that you turn in what you need to turn in, and then that's it.
Yeah, we emphasize homework, we de-emphasize tests and results outcomes. And grades.
The outcomes were, I don't think, I don't know if you guys know what PowerSchool is, but I think Todd and I collectively have looked at PowerSchool, which is all their grades and papers and stuff, twice. All of them. We never look at it. It's not ours, it's theirs. Now, in our situation, what that's resulted in, and I'm saying in our situation because I can't guarantee you anything, but is our girls having ownership of their work when they fail or succeed.
And that doesn't mean they're getting straight A's, because no, they're not.
They're not. They're getting good grades. Mm-hmm. Like I see my girls all have different they all have different genius inside of them. And one of them has more of an intellectual academic genius. My other two have different genius pieces. They're still good students. They show up. Their teachers are like, yeah, they do their best, but it doesn't always mean that they get 100%. And a lot of times we look at children overall and we say they should all be getting 100%. And that doesn't make sense because there's a bell curve for a reason. Like we're not, you know, as you guys have heard us say and other people say, you know, the worst thing you can call a person's child is average, because everyone gets all pissed off. Like, my child's not average. Well, then how?
Actually, most kids are average. Like there's the highest amount of kids are at that average.
Yeah, which they should be. And it isn't a problem. We need to like take the energy out of that word. So really what you're talking about is what are our expectations in our home? And what, because I agree with you, if he's coming home and going, and you didn't say this, but if he's coming home and going and playing video games and not doing his homework, not okay.
That's the boundary.
That's a boundary. You do this first, you know, language we always use, first this, then that. First this, then that. But it's not first this, now let me check your work. Now, do you want to reconsider that? Wait, do you want to use that word where we're micromanaging his work? And then also partnering with the teacher. You know, I always reach out to my girls' teachers, not to be, we've lived here a long time, so I know them all anyway. But I just say, be in touch with me if you see something that, you know, you don't think is great. Or be in touch with me if you see something great that we should be like promoting more, you know, that we should be focusing in on. It's not just about the negative. If you see something that you think we should really tap into, and then we partner. And then we give our kids a little freedom to become the student they're meant to be.
Yeah. And that might mean they're an A student. That might mean they're a C student. That might mean they're a B student. They might need help. Maybe they're a D student. They need some help. So
we give them the structure and the expectations, not the expectations of straight A's, but the expectation of homework first. You go to school, you know, the study. You know, we do, there is some homework and studying kind of go together. You know, don't be like, I have a test tomorrow, screw it, I'm not going to study. You do need to, and I'll help you. But not, oh my gosh, study, I'm going to make you study. But like, when are you going to study? Or what's your plan? Like, but then hands off, which is hard because that's not always taught. A lot of times, even the schools, I've had all the curriculum nights this week for my girls at a high school, at a middle school, and an elementary school. And it's so funny. The teachers are giving us all this information and they're like, here's the website where you can find this book. And here's the information over here. And here's where you can find all their assignments. I'm like, why do I need this? It's not. And a parent raised her hand yesterday in class or in the fifth grade curriculum night and said, because you guys don't give homework anymore. Cause our elementary school doesn't give homework anymore because they're following the research that it really doesn't do anything. She said, because you guys don't give homework anymore, I don't know what my kid's doing, and that makes me really uncomfortable. So can you give me a overview of what they're doing every day?
No.
I wasn't like, oh, I didn't judge her and shake my head, but I thought, that's not going to help your child.
Well, that's the mom's discomfort. So yes. Lean into that discomfort. So I want to bring Melanie in here. What are your thoughts, feedback, takeaways? What are you stuck on?
So I agree with all of that. A couple of things. My main issue is just really letting go of what I was taught growing up, which sometimes I'm better at, sometimes I'm not. And then my spouse, who is not really on the same page with, which is interesting because I think when he was growing up, his parents did exactly what you said. Probably more so because they, neither of them went to college. It was, they just were completely hands off. Mm-hmm. And he was the third, and he was apparently the best one out of three boys. So there was nothing he could do wrong.
Right.
But he did well academically. We're both physical therapists. We both have master's degrees. So it's interesting that I, not coming from an environment growing up where there was no emphasis on social emotional development, and now that's where I want to focus, and it's difficult for me. But then I have a spouse who is trying to get on the same page with me. And then also I'm the one who picks them up, goes over their stuff.
Yeah.
And very frequently when something's not done, or if my oldest will say, like, for example, this morning, he said yesterday he had all of his stuff done, and this morning he was doing something at the last minute. And he said, I decided that I wanted to do that at the last minute this morning. That's what he said.
I chose it.
Yeah, I chose it. So my husband always, didn't you check? Didn't you check his folder? Didn't you check this? And we have already had the discussion, you know, when junior high starts, I want to put it on him. It's too much stress for me, mm-hmm. because I'm trying to let go of this. But at the same time, you're wanting me to do this. I don't agree with it. It didn't work for me at all.
Yes.
Because when I was going to school, my focus was on the grade and not what I was actually doing.
Right.
So and now I'm 40-ish and I don't know what I want to do.
Yes.
So, and I don't want that for them. Mm-mm. So those are like the two areas that are keeping me stuck. And then he is very much like me in the sense that I'm still kind of, and this is a big part of our relationship, that I'm better at with my younger two for some reason, but going back and forth, like we argue.
Mm-hmm.
argue. And I'm really trying to be like, this is what the boundary is. And then I literally have to leave him so we don't get into the dance of him trying to justify his, you know, but at the same time, I want to respect his feelings and honor those.
Yes.
But it's very challenging for me right now.
Yes. Especially the blend of the two. Two things. Number one, with your husband, that'll be a great conversation with him, because they're really, again, this is what I mean about the subconscious beliefs, because really what he's doing when your kid doesn't have their homework done in the morning, he looks to you and said, why did this happen? When really both of you together should be looking to your son and say, how's this working for you? Not a, you did it wrong, you're in trouble, but is doing it in the morning working for you? Because it's a little stressful for me as your mom. But, you know, because you don't have to pretend. This is not about being fake and being like, I don't care. We care. It's just about, it really has nothing to do with us. And like my middle daughter, who is very focused on her grades, you know, for as much as I say, come home and do your homework, which she does, she also likes to study for a test while she's in bed, right before she goes to sleep. And she has taught me that that's the way she likes to do it.